we're going to be talking about saturating your life with the Word of God. I grew up in Central Florida. And in Central Florida, where I grew up, there was orange groves everywhere. And one of the coolest things to do was to go out into an orange grove in the springtime when the orange trees are in full blossom, and just to walk through a grove and smell an orange grove in full bloom. The aroma is overwhelming. In addition to that, the bees are going crazy. I mean, it is just you can't even hear yourself think because of the bees buzzing around you. If you come back to that same orange grove a few months later, you're going to find huge orange globes hanging off of numerous branches of those orange trees. So much so that the trees are bent over and having to be propped up from the ground to keep the limbs from breaking. The bees have done their job. And we enjoy the citrus that comes out of Florida or California because of this incredible process that our lovely and imaginative Creator designed. What we don't appreciate is what's happening under the ground. Because the reality is that in order to get that incredible production of those beautiful oranges, you've got to have an amazing root system. Because without that root system, you get no fruit. And the truth of the matter is, the amount of mass of an orange tree that you see above ground, there is a reciprocal amount of root system mass-wise under the ground that is invisible to you. That's what it takes to get that kind of fruitfulness from an orange tree. And that's the kind of fruitfulness that's the kind of root system it will take in your life for you to bear fruit for Christ. You will have to have this unseen root system into the Word of God as you saturate your life with the Word in order to bear fruit for Him season after season after season of your life. So this morning, I'd like to suggest for your considerations 5 ways that you can saturate your life with the Scriptures. And we're going to be very practical this morning. We're going to be in the Scriptures, so you're going to need your Bibles handy because we're going to be going from front to back this morning. 5 ways that you can saturate your life with the Scriptures. The first way that you can do this is you need to hear the Word of God on a regular basis. Hearing the Word of God. Turn with me to Luke 11, verse 28. Luke 11, 28. Luke 11, 28. Jesus is speaking. I'll wait for the rustling of pages to stop. I can't hear the cell phones being scrolled, but I can hear the pages being turned. Luke 11, 28. How are we doing? It's between Luke 10 and 12. Just trying to help out there. Luke 11, 28, Jesus is speaking and he says, "Blessed rather are those who hear the word of God and obey it." Notice the linkage. Hearing the word of God and obeying the word of God. You want to be blessed by God? Listen to the word of God and obey it. One of the beautiful things about this age is the internet. It can be used for good or for evil. One of the good purposes for which the internet is being used is a little project called discipleshiplibrary.com. Funded by a friend of the Navigators, this ministry is capturing decades worth of messages that have been given at conferences or events by the world's greatest speakers, redigitizing these. Many of these are reel-to-reel tapes, digitizing them and then putting them on the internet for your listening pleasure and edification. If you have not bookmarked discipleshiplibrary.com, one word, www.discipleshiplibrary.com, it will become one of your favorites. Because you will have access to some of the greatest speakers in the history of Christendom simply by clicking. You don't have to pay for a conference. Perhaps they've even gone to be with Jesus before you were born, but you can listen to them. They're on that library for a purpose. And if you would avail yourself of regularly listening and hearing the Word of God taught through that little means, it's so practical and so easy and so amazingly wonderful, because you get Bible teachers and those who can unpack the Word of God, some of the best that there have ever been. And it's available to you today. All you have to do is click. You want to be blessed by God? Hear the Word of God and obey it. That's what God promises through the Lord in Luke 11. There's a second means from which to saturate your life with the Scriptures, and that is reading the Word. Reading the Bible on a regular basis. For me, as I think about of these five means or five ways to saturate our life, this is one of my favorites. Simply because it's one of the easiest things I can do. It doesn't require a whole lot of technology to support it. All I have to have is my Bible. I can read, thanks to my first and second grade teachers. And so, me and the Holy Spirit and my Bible have a wonderful time simply reading the Scriptures. And I found simply by reading and rereading the Scriptures that it becomes more and more easy for me to want to read the Scriptures as opposed to want to read something else. As a new missionary in Indonesia, I met a man, some of you have heard this story, I met a man by the name of Bud Brown, one of my heroes, serving with another mission agency. Bud Brown was unusual. I've never met another man like him. When Bud talked, the Bible just kind of came out. For lack of a better illustration, he would sweat the Bible out of his pores. He had so saturated his life with the Scriptures, he couldn't help but talk about the Bible. And when the Bible came out of Bud's mouth, he was able to take Genesis and connect it to Revelation and everything in between and make it all make sense. He was incredibly talented and gifted. I never met another man like him before or since. And so I was so fascinated by this individual. I took him out to lunch and asked him the question, Bud, how did you get this? Where did this come from? I'm so jealous. I want this, what you have. How did you get it? And he said this to me, Tom, I'll tell you a story. 25 years ago, I was just like you, a new missionary in Indonesia. Only we were in one of the outer islands. It was so remote that I couldn't even get shortwave radio. I was working with a very developing people who were hunters and gatherers during the day out in the jungle, and my ministry never started until they came back at night around the campfires. So I had all day long in the village with nothing to do but wait for them to return. So I got in the habit of reading my Bible. 25 years ago, I got in the habit of reading my Bible through once a month. I said, excuse me? He says, yeah, I get up about 4:30 in the morning. It takes me about two and a half hours a day. And I read through the entire Bible once a month. And I've done that for the last 25 years. Well, that was a discouraging lunch. Holy cow, no wonder the guy oozes the Bible out of his pores. Who does that kind of stuff? Yeah, he says, I get up at 4:30, have a couple apples for breakfast, and I read my Bible. Well, I thought, yeah, no wonder the guy is who he is and is what he is. And that's totally defeating for me because I don't do mornings well. And besides 2.5 hours a day, who's got time to do that? But I was smart enough to ask him one other question before I left that lunch. I asked him, how do you know how much to read every day? He says, well, I've done this often enough that you kind of know where it breaks, you know, after a period of, you know, numbers of times through this. And so I kind of adjust it a little bit so it kind of breaks at a natural point, like the end of a book or something like that. So, but he said, when I first started, I just looked at my Bible and counted the total number of pages and divided by 30 days in a month, and read 1/30, knowing that in 30 days or so, I would get through the entire book. And then I've adjusted it and made it a personal reading plan. So I left that lunch incredibly challenged, but also knowing impossible for me to do what he had done. But I thought to myself, you know, I could do the New Testament. That's a lot shorter in a month. And so I counted the number of pages, divided by 30 in my New Testament, and read the entire New Testament through in a month. And I did it a second month, and a third month. And that went on for several years. And I began to realize what was happening just through repetition. Someone would mention the parable of the sower. And I would see it in my mind, Mark 4, top right-hand side of the page. Because I had seen it over and over and over again, just through repetition of reading. And I was able then to quote large sections of Scripture, not because I had memorized it, but simply because I'd read it over and over and over again. Well, after a number of years of doing that, I began to realize I was losing touch with the Old Testament, in particular the Old Testament history. And so I couldn't remember who came before who was the father of so-and-so, and it was just all kind of jumbled in my mind. And so I found an outline of the Old Testament historical books put in chronological order, and I made that into a reading plan and began to read that in the off every quarter. So I'd read 2 months in a row. I'd read the New Testament through in a month, and then I'd read the Old Testament historical books chronologically through every third or fourth month, and I began to get a grasp of the Scriptures. And so I put together that into a reading plan, put it into a little bookmark, and you can get through the New Testament in a month in 30 minutes a day. 30 minutes a day. You can get through the entire New Testament in 30 days reading 30 minutes a day. Now, you're not allowed during that time to stop and cross-reference or meditate. It's just read it like a book. And you can get through the New Testament in 30 minutes a day. You can get through the Old Testament history books in chronological order in 45 minutes a day in 1 month. I've had campuses take up the challenge of reading through the New Testament together in a month. University of Wisconsin did this several years ago, and they put it online, and everybody signed in and checked or commented or posted something about what they read today and thoughts that they took up a challenge. How many of us are going to read the New Testament in a month? Because it was on the internet, some people around the globe joined them in this reading plan. There were two men from Germany that joined in, non-Christians, that found this on the internet and asked if they could join the reading plan. By the end of the month, they came to know Christ just through reading the New Testament. How's your reading? You can all read. Reading the Scriptures, it's a good way to saturate your life. Turn with me to Revelation 1:3. We said you'll be blessed if you hear the word of God and obey it. Revelation 1, verse 3 says you'll be blessed if you read the word of God. Revelation 1:3. Blessed is the one who reads the words of this prophecy, and blessed are those who hear it and take to heart what is written in it, because the time is near. Do you want to be blessed by God? Read the word of God. Now, let me just give you one little tip. If you switch versions of the Bible, it'll mess with your mind. You'll also notice, you can't see this, I'm just going to take this by faith for those of you that can't see this, but I use what's called a single column Bible. Most of your written Bibles are probably two columns. But I use a single column because it's easy to read like a book. And reading, I told you, is one of my favorite intakes of the Scriptures. That's why I chose this version of the printed Bible, a single column Bible, as opposed to double column. But you can choose whatever works for you. Hear the Word of God. Read the Word of God. And reread the Word of God. It will be a blessing that you can't even begin to imagine as God speaks to you through the Scriptures. Now again, let's remember that the goal here is not to see how many times I can read through the Bible. There's no bonus points in heaven. You know, those of you that read the New Testament at least 10 times over here, you get a bigger mansion. Doesn't work that way. But it will be beneficial for you in your walk with Christ here. It will be beneficial for you in your witness for Christ here. Hearing the Word of God, reading the Word of God. Two excellent ways to saturate your life with the Scriptures. There's a third way, and that is studying the Word of God. Now, I know many of you are in personal Bible studies, small group Bible studies on your campus. And those are excellent. I want to encourage you, if you're not in a small group Bible study, please, please make it an application when you go back to your campus. Find a small group where you're studying the Bible together as a group. It will be such a blessing to your heart and soul. You can't even begin to imagine. Having said that, there's an extra step that you might be missing. And I know as a student, this is challenging for you. But could I suggest that studying the Scripture, in addition to your small group, you want to do personal study in the Bible. Searching the Scriptures for answers to your life, your questions. What does the Bible say about fill in the blank? Now, that will require some cross-referencing. So you'll need a study Bible or some study aids. The good news about the internet age again, they're all available for you. And many, many of them are free. And so you can find a verse, click on it, and it will give you 10 other verses that are speaking about the same thing from Genesis to Revelation. But you have to discipline yourself to spend time in the Scriptures studying the Word for yourself. Turn with me to 2 Timothy 2:15. 2 Timothy 2, verse 15. Paul writing to his son in the faith, Timothy, preparing him for going on without him, because in 2 Timothy, Paul assumes that he won't be much longer on this planet. 2 Timothy 2:15. He says, study to show yourself approved, a workman who does not need to be ashamed, carefully handling the word of truth. I said, 2 Timothy 2:15. Study to show yourself approved, a workman. That word workman is the same word, Greek word, used in Matthew 9. Where it says, the harvest is plentiful, but the workmen or the workers or the laborers are few. The word is a common field hand who gets out into the field, bends over with a curved knife, and reaps a barley or wheat harvest in the heat of the day. Someone who is able to work very hard in very demanding situations in order to yield great results, a harvest. That is the same word that Paul is exhorting Timothy to apply, and when he says, study to show yourself approved, a workman who does not need to be ashamed, correctly handling the word of God, the word of truth. It's that workman who's able to spend the time with the Scriptures to understand what it is that God would have for us. This book is your owner's manual for life. It's not a reference book to be run to when things go wrong. Rather, it's an owner's manual for regular upkeep and maintenance of your life so that you don't have the red lights coming on the dashboard that say, check engine, you're in trouble. And so that's going to require some regular time, spending time with God in the Scriptures, studying the Scriptures for yourself. I was a graduate student, married. We had several young children. And this discipline, if you will, was suggested to me, and I began to spend Saturday mornings going to the Purdue Library in the annex in the stacks where nobody went to get alone with God and my Bible. I would take a yellow pad of paper, my Bible, and a pen. And I had a study Bible with cross references in it, or in the margins. And so I could search out a topic that I was interested in, and I would take notes. Now, I knew this was a great place to go because there was so much dust on the floor that I would leave footprints. And there was no other footprints up there but mine, week after week, every Saturday morning. And those were some of the richest times of my walk with the Lord. Me and Jesus and a yellow pad of paper, Him teaching me from His Word what it is to be a follower of Him. And it was self-directed, and I was highly motivated because I was seeking answers that I was interested in, not what someone said I had to study because it was in my personal Bible study, small group Bible study that I was either in or leading that week. And I searched for everything from, you know, what does it mean to be a citizen in under a governmental authority? What about taxes? How about witnessing? What does it mean to have the world on your heart and world vision? Week after week, I'd pick another topic and search it through the scriptures. And God began to build truth into my life that I'm still living and ministering out of today. Study the Bible. But study it for yourself. Hear the Word. Read the Word. Study the Word. There's a fourth way you can saturate your life with the Scriptures, and that is to memorize the Word. Hey, we're navigators. This is, you know, I meet people around the globe, and I introduce myself. Oh, you're with the Navigators. And then if they know anything about our history, they'll say something like this: you must have the whole Bible memorized by now. Well, no. That would not be a goal of my life. But I did commit myself years ago, by the grace of God, to memorizing 2 verses a week for the rest of my life. So, some weeks I hit that goal, some weeks I don't. I'm not defeated if I don't. Neither do I get all excited if I hit the goal. It's just a regular intake as I seek to memorize Scripture on a regular basis. You remember Friday night I told you the story about witnessing to that atheist in that man's living room where he would pontificate and I would simply share a verse. It wasn't that I pulled open my Bible and read him the verse. I was quoting verses that I'd memorized. And when I first started memorizing the Bible passages, it was verses that I would use when I wanted to witness to my non-Christian friends, because often I didn't have a Bible handy, and I got tired of saying something. Well, the Bible says something like, and then I would mess up whatever verse I was trying to quote. Psalm 37:31 says, the word of God is in his heart. His feet do not slip. Psalm 37:31. If you plant the word of God in your life, in your heart, through memory, it will give you a foundation and a stability in your life. It will give the Holy Spirit ammunition so that when you're in the heat of the battle, let's say you're being tempted in some area of sin, to bring up passages that you've memorized that he will use to help you choose righteousness instead of choosing evil. He will use passages that you've memorized to build a subconscious level of righteousness in your life, and so you will develop a habit of choosing righteousness instead of sin over time. Because it's a foundation in your life that was laid subconsciously as well as consciously that he will use to build Christ-likeness in your life. And so I always have a list of verses that I want to memorize. And I find these verses. I found several of those verses this weekend, listening to you in conversations and workshops. through messages or presentations here, I want to put this on what I call my hot list. Verses that I want to memorize. And so I always have a list of verses on my hot list that God is using recently to speak to me from. And that keeps me highly motivated in scripture memory. Now, let me just give you a couple of tips, real practical tips on scripture memory that have kept me going for quite a while now. One is set a maximum number of verses that you're going to memorize. How do you know how many? Well, that's up to you. But I find that one of the greatest challenges to scripture memory is the back review. Once you've memorized them, keeping them fresh, that's the challenge. And so I got some help from another Navigator staff in Southeast Asia who said, Tom, when I was struggling with this, he said, Tom, it's real easy. Just start throwing away cards, your memory cards. I said, wow, that's like cutting off an arm. I bled over these things to get these things memorized. And as I get older, it's getting more and more challenging. He says, no, that's not the goal. The goal is not being able to see how many. The goal is being able to use it and have the Holy Spirit use it in your life. And so set a maximum number, and I've got a little box that I put my memory cards in. And once the box got full, when I add a new card now, I throw an old one away. And to be honest, it's quite freeing when I throw the old ones away, because there's always verses that are kind of like, wow, why did I memorize that in the first place? It's not on my hot list now. It was good for a certain season of my life, but now no longer is that helpful or relevant. And so it's very freeing to toss cards as I add new ones in that I've recently memorized. So set a maximum number that you're going to memorize. The second practical tip I'd give you on scripture memory is try to go through all your back review in 1 month. So in that little box that I've got with my memory cards, I divide it into 30 sections. You'll see I'm a person of pattern. And so 30 sections, as I go through my quiet time, I'm working on my new verses in my verse pack. And then whatever day of the month it is, I'm going through that section so that in 1 month I'll go through all the verses that I've memorized. I'll see them. And in 1 month, seeing them once a month, I can keep everything fresh. Maximum number review. Go through your back review once a month. And the third one is just keep a hot list. Always just, there's verses that God is speaking to you from. Make a note. Commit them to memory. Show God that you're paying attention when He speaks to you from your quiet time. When you're listening to the Word of God taught. When you're reading the Word of God. When you're studying the Word of God. Commit it to memory. Now again, there's no prizes in heaven for those that have memorized a minimum of 50 verses over here. It's for your benefit and for the benefit of those that you influence that you want to memorize the scripture. Storing it away in your heart and in your mind so the Holy Spirit can use it. I think of all the four intakes that I've mentioned thus far, the one I told you reading is the most enjoyable for me, but the one that has been most beneficial for decades of walking with Jesus, and it has been several decades now, is scripture memory. Can I tell you how I started memorizing scripture? I was playing golf with a Navigator staff person. We're on the way to the golf course, and on the front seat of his car, between us, strategically placed, was a verse pack. I'd never seen such a thing. I reached over and grabbed it and said, Lee, what is this thing? What are these cards? He says, oh, I'm in the habit of memorizing verses of scripture. I couldn't believe it. He had Old Testament verses in here. And so me being me, I said, okay, let's see how good you are. And I went through one by one his cards and asked him to quote it. And you know what? He had every one word perfect. I was so impressed. I said, this is awesome. Where do you get one of these things? He says, right there in the glove compartment, I happen to have another one. And I was hooked. I mean, I was on the stringer before I even knew there was a fly in front of me. And I started memorizing scripture. No one had to sell me on this because it was obvious that his example, his model was so challenging to me. And I was frustrated in trying to witness to my classmates in vet school that he said, just start with some verses related to the gospel. And that got me started. And then it was the topical memory system. And a system created years ago by navigators who understand what it means to memorize the Word of God well and put together a series of 60 verses around 30 topics, two verses per topic, in order to help us learn the habit of Scripture memory. You can buy those at the book table. You can get those online at navpress.com. Topical memory system. It's a great way to start. That's where I started. After memorizing a few verses, I found there was a system already in place, and it was so helpful. Hear the Word, read the Word, memorize the Word, study the Word, memorize the Word. There's a fifth and last way you can saturate your life with the Word, and that's meditate on the Scriptures. And you've heard this, by these five means, described as a hand. It's a way that you can get a grasp of the Scriptures. And the thumb is the key that makes us unique. The thumb is what you apply to each of the other intakes. Meditation. As you hear the Word, you meditate on it. As you read the Word, you meditate on it. As you study the Word, you meditate on it. As you memorize the Word, you meditate on it. Turn with me to Psalm 1. Psalm 1. If you want to be motivated in meditation, read Psalms and read the book of Proverbs and note the number of things God promises to those who meditate on His Word or His law. It is unbelievable. Because many of you are students, He says, if you want more understanding and wisdom than your teachers, meditate on the law of God. In Psalm 1, He describes a tree and says this, starting in Psalm 1:1. Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of mockers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on His law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by the streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, whose leaf does not wither. Whatever he does prospers. Do you want to have a prosperous life? Meditate on the Word of God. God promises it. This is one of those 3,000 promises we talked about last night. He will prosper you. He will bless you if you saturate your life with the Scriptures. Well, what does it mean to meditate? Does it mean I have to go on a hill somewhere and start a chant? No. It's very simple. Meditation is simply focused reflection upon the Word of God. And so, let's take, you've memorized a passage. As you memorize that passage, you want to reflect upon that passage and ask yourself some questions. What is this verse saying to me about God and His character? What is this verse saying to me about my life and what it means to be a follower of Him? What is this verse saying about fill in the blank? And so you're asking yourself questions, forcing yourself to reflect upon this passage. What does it mean for me? And as you meditate on it, the Holy Spirit will enlighten you and give you understanding and give you insight and give you application for your own life. And it will change your life. I have a prayer journal. You know, years ago, we would teach people, and you perhaps are doing this right now, we teach people how to pray by simply making a prayer list. The date, what you're asking God for, and then the date when it is answered. That's a great way to build the habit of structured, disciplined prayer into your life. A prayer list. The problem is, the prayer list gets awfully long sometimes. And so my list was so long, I got very frustrated with it because it became a burden. And so again, I got some help from somebody who was older and wiser. And they said, Tom, just structure it into a journal that you in 1 week can pray through everything you want to pray for. And so there's a daily section, things that I pray through every day. Most of those would be life promises and family-related issues. And then every day of the week for the next 7 days are different categories of things I want to pray about. So Monday is missionary day. My missionary friends that God has given me a heart to pray for, I'm praying for them by name, by continent. So I pray through my daily section every day, plus whatever's under the Monday tab. Tuesday, it's my lost friends, people that don't know Christ, family members and or people that God has brought across my path. Wednesday is a mercy day. It seems like there's a lot of people that at this season of my life that are suffering from illness, cancer, just broken lives, messed up family situations, crises. And so Wednesday is mercy day. God, would you have mercy on this person? And so forth. And in 1 week, I can get through everything that I'm praying for. But in the daily section, the bulk of my daily section that I'm praying through every day are passages of scripture that I'm meditating on over and over and over again. They're passages related to the character of God. They're passages that are promises, personal promises for me and my life and my ministry. They're other passages related to the world and God's heart for the world. And I'm meditating on those day after day as I'm praying over them. Helping God, asking God to help me understand and apply what he's saying in his word. Saturating your life with the scriptures. It's a super, super discipline. And again, could I just remind you, the goal is not some academic approach here. We're not trying to master a textbook. You know, it might be helpful for you to memorize the outline of the book of Romans if you have a Romans theology class that you have to pass an exam on. But I don't know, I don't think I've ever had anybody stop me and say, excuse me, can you give me the outline to the book of Romans? I really need that. But if you can help someone apply the book of Romans to their life, they will line up at your door for help. Everybody is looking for help in how to apply the scriptures to their life. Saturate your life with the word. Hear the word, read the word, study the word, memorize the word. And then as you do those four things, meditate on it, and your life will be blessed. One last exhortation for you. Could I remind you of this? Jesus says to us that we are responsible for the depth of our message, and he is responsible for the breadth of our influence. Can I say that one more time? We are responsible for the depth of our message, and he is responsible for the breadth of your influence. You major on going deep with Jesus through the scriptures, and he will amaze you at the opportunity he gives you to influence others in his name. You haven't even begun to imagine what he will do in you and through you. And remember again, it's a lifelong pursuit. You don't have to have it all figured out by the end of the year. It's a little bit of a time, little bit at a time, over a long period of time, and you will build an incredible life message that will be a great blessing to many. And God will use you to change your generation for his glory. May it be so. Let's pray.